Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A reading from the sixth canto, chapter 16, chapter is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. And the verse is, as far as I'm informed, verse 53. All right, thanks. So I think I was correctly informed, but no problem. So as I only know one sentence in Hindi, people speak Hindi here? And this sentence, wherever I went, people always liked me, no matter whether they were Hindus or Muslims, Sikhs. And that sentence, I hope I tell it right, it's the only sentence I know in Hindi, is Sabkuch Upawala Kahatmehe. Sab kuch Bhagavan Shri Krishna ke hath mein hai. Everything is in. So now we're reading nectarian verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's written there. Yata sushupta purusho. Yata sushupta purusho. Vishvam pasyati chatmani. Vishvam pasyati chatmani. Atmanam ekadesha stam. Atmanam ekadesha stam. Atmanam ekadesha stam. Manyate svapna utita. Manyate svapna utita. Evam jagadanadini. It's not written? All right. Yata susupta purusho. Vishvam pasyati chapmani. Amanam ekadeshastam manyate svapna utita. Gentlemen, Purusha. Sutta Purusho. That was nice. You want to change that? Tasupta Purusho. Vishvam Pasyati Chatmani. Atmanam Ekadeshastam. Manyate svapna utita. Yata susupta purusho vishvam pasyati chatmani. Atmanam ekadeshastam manyate svapna utita. Evam jagadanadini jivastanani chatmana. Maya matrani vigyaya tatrastaram param smadet yata. Just as Sushupta, sleeping, Purusha, a person, Vishvam, the whole universe, Pashyati, perceives, Cha, also, Atmani, in himself, Atmanam, himself, Ekadeshastam, lying down in one place. Manyate, he considers, Svapne, in the dreaming condition. Utita, waking up. Avam, in this way. Jagara Adini, the states of wakefulness, and so on. Jivastanani, the living entities, different conditions of existence. Cha, also, Atmana, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya Matrani, the exhibitions of the illusory potency. Vigyaya, knowing, tat, of them, drishtadam, the creator, or seer, of all such conditions. Param, the supreme, smadet, one should always remember. Translation, when a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. Purport. None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness, is substantial. They are simply displays of various phases of conditional life. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers, and snakes that are situated far away, but in a dream, one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position, and honor. Bank balance, position, and honor. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all but creations of the illusory energy, which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate actor, and the conditioned living entity should simply remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. As living entities, we are being carried away by the waves of prakriti, or nature, which works under the Lord's direction, maya dakshina prakriti suyate sa characharam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Micha maya boshe yacha beshe bacha hadu dubu bai While I am being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy and various phases of dreaming and wakefulness, these are all creations of Maya. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. For us to do this, the Shastra advises us, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam. One should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Lord is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is the ultimate realization. One who realizes Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the most perfect Mahatma. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudulabham. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for then one will understand everything else. Yasmin Vigyati Sarvam Evam Vigyatam Bhavati. According to this Vedic injunction, simply by understanding Krishna, one understands Brahman, Paramatma, Prakriti, the illusory energy, the spiritual energy, and everything else. Everything will be revealed. Prakriti, the material nature, is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord. And we living entities are being carried away by various phases of Prakriti. For self-realization, one should always remember Krishna. As stated in Padma Purana, Smatavyas, Smartavyas, Satatam Vishnu. We should always remember Lord Vishnu. Vismartavyo na jatuchit. We should never forget the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Radha Rasa Biharaji ki jai. So I thank you very much for this great honor of being allowed to speak here in the assembly of the saintly Vaishnavas, the devotees of this wonderful ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Juhu Beach, Mumbai, which is so inspiring to visit and to have darshan. In fact, I feel very overwhelmed with the friendliness and the enthusiasm and the wonderful dedication that I see here and I experience here. And with the blessing of the devotees, I hope to say a few words remembering the teachings of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Who wrote these wonderful and most significant purports to this nectarian Srimad Bhagavatam, to all these verses, so that we have a chance to actually hear them and reflect them and also understand and practice them. So each word in this Srimad Bhagavatam actually has a lesson for us. The Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking to us every day. It is the supreme nectar as spoken by the purest of devotees for our benefit in this age, in this fallen degraded age of Kali Yuga, so that we can also have a chance to participate and partake of this most sublime knowledge, which can guide us even in this age to the most wonderful, elevated, and happy stage of life, which is known as Krishna consciousness. So as Sri Rupa Goswami also, we are known as Rupanugas. We follow the authority of Rupa Goswami through the authority of Srila Prabhupada. and his dedicated followers. So Rupa Goswami, he mentions that what is the supreme of all principles? Because we have so many rules and regulations, of course some of them very substantial rules, but all of them very helpful. We read them every day in Nectar of Devotion. So many nice principles that help us to advance and to purify our mind and our heart. But of all these principles and rules, what is the main principles? The main rule to which all the other rules are, subordinate. So anyone knows, please raise your hand. What is that supreme principle? You were the first, I think. Very good. Very nice. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That is the most important principle. And all these other principles are very practical. Srila Prabhupada established all these principles of our daily sadhana and service to Krishna because they are most helpful and very potent in helping us to realize this end of all of our activities, beginning of our activities, and also middle of all of our activities, to become Krishna conscious. Just like Prahlad Maharaj also says, that the people who are merged in illusion, they are full of anxieties and they are suffering terribly in this world. But they do not know that the real goal of life is Vishnu. To remember Vishnu, to remember Krishna. Nate vidu svartagatim hi Vishnu. They do not know the goal of everything is to become Krishna consciousness. So somebody may object and say, how is that? Prahlad Maharaj, why do we say Krishna consciousness? He seems to be in a Singhadev Bhakta. He's worshipping Lord Nrsingadev. And so Nrsingadev is a Vishnu form of Krishna. How comes that we say always Krishna, Krishna, Krishna consciousness? How is that possible? Why not say we are Vaishnavas? So actually we don't see any difference. Prahlad Maharaj also not seeing any difference. Because he said, Matiya na Krishna parata svatova, mityo patita griha vratanam, adanta gopya vishitam tamisham, puna puna chavita chavananam. He mentions the word Krishna also. Matiya na Krishna parata svatova. That the goal of life is to become Krishna conscious. So there's no difference. That is only our lack of understanding. Actually, when we worship Lord Nrsingadev, we understand that Nrsingadev is just one aspect or one form of that same Krishna. It's not that he's totally different personality. No. But they are all Ramadi Murti Shukalanya Mena Tishtan. They are all wonderful spiritual forms of that same Krishna. So in that sense, just like a man, he owns a factory and he wears his suit. And when we look at that factory, we understand that factory is his energy. Like Krishna has that aspect, God has that aspect, impersonal aspect, of Brahman, Brahma Jyoti. So the same way that man, let's say his name is Mr. Sharma, and first name, I don't know, first Indian name, typical, maybe, I don't know, Dilip, what's it? Krishna, that's, okay, that's a very nice name. Let's say Krishna Das. But nowadays they have so many modern names also. But that's best, if you remember Krishna, very good. Whenever we ask questions and you don't know the answer and you have to break your head, what will be the answer, what he wants to know? Mostly the answer is that Krishna. That is the answer. That is the final answer. So anyway, this example, this name, let's say Krishna Das Sharma, he has his factory and you want to get to know him. So somebody shows you his factory. And you say, oh yeah, this is Mr. Sharma. He's done so great. He has built this factory. He owns this factory. But still, you haven't met him in person. So it's only a distant aspect of Mr. Sharma. Then localized aspect is if you get an appointment with secretary. That's always a trick when you make life members to get by the secretary and come to the director. So maybe one day you're allowed to meet Mr. Sharma because you met the secretary. And you meet Mr. Sharma in person for maybe 5.5 minutes, you know, on his watch, because he's a very important person. So you feel very honored, you know. And that is like the localized aspect of God, like the Vishnu aspect of God that is situated in everyone's heart. So you can realize God's presence localized in one place, in the heart of every living entity, and a few other places, in every atom, so on. So that is compared to that. Still, you don't have such an intimate relationship with Mr. Sharma. But if one day Mr. Sharma said, okay, you came here a few times, I'll invite you to my home. And you can call me Krishna Das. You don't have to say Mr. Sharma. Oh, then you feel very pleased. And when you come and visit him at home, maybe you will see the child sitting on his lap, or maybe Mr. Sharma will crawl on the ground, the child will ride on his back even. But in the factory, everyone is very much in awe and reverence. But that doesn't mean that it's a different Mr. Sharma. In one sense, it's different, and at the same time, the same. If you just come in and you call him Krishna Das, he may get offended if you don't know him very well. But if you actually, after some time, you get to know him, he allows you to call you Krishna Das, and he introduces his wife and children, then all the other aspects are included. But if you only know the factory aspect, the impersonal aspect, it's a true aspect. It's not unreal. It is also relevant. But it is just a partial aspect. It's not the complete. And therefore, it is not completely perfect in that sense, because it's not complete. To know the whole picture, you have to understand God as Bhagavan aspect. Then the other aspects, they are also included. That is very easy to understand. So we talked day before yesterday on the way here. I brought a friend of mine here from Germany. And he's new in Krishna consciousness, but very sincerely studying what is. So he had a nice question. He asked me, what is the meaning of this Bhagavan? He read it in Bhagavad Gita. So, because here it is translated, Prabhupada translates, Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is very significant. When Prabhupada translates, it has very deep meaning. He could have translated in many ways, just God. He could have just said God. But it means personality of God, means in the personal aspect of God. That is more advanced. In previous ages, that was not so easy to obtain, even in this age, not so easy to understand. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the mercy of the holy name, chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, these aspects can be realized. Even after a short time of studying sincerely Prabhupada's books, because they are so wonderful books, so essential books, by the mercy of the pure devotee, by rendering service to the pure devotee, and regularly hearing from the lips of the pure devotee, the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is troublesome to the heart, and nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naistiki. By rendering regularly this service to the pure devotee, to his preaching mission, to the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission, ISKCON Society, and regularly attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, all that is troublesome to the heart, everything that is abhadra, inauspicious, will be turned into bhadra. Not just bhadra, but subhadra even. The mercy of Krishna is subhadra, the divine energy, his sister, Subhadra Devi. She is giving you the highest blessing by purifying your heart because it's spiritual blessing. The real blessing is not material blessing. And because it is coming and going, the real blessing is that we advance in our Krishna consciousness. That we leave behind all the troubles, all the miseries of the material world. And all the dualities of this world, all the anxieties of this world, once and forever by taking shelter of Krishna. And for taking shelter of Krishna, one has to somehow or other get the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee. That is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. He's saying to his atheistic father, who is just wants to kill him, and he says, "You're so much an illusion, I'm not your enemy. This whole understanding of enemy and friend is such a big illusion. You're so much in anxiety. You worked so hard to become the Lord of the universe. Still you're filled with so much anxiety. Unless you are bathing your body in the dust from the feet of a pure devotee, you will never find a solution to the problems of your life. It is not possible. You can try and try and try. If even he didn't succeed, how can we succeed? That means foolishness. But if we are too proud, if we are not able somehow or other to become humble and listen attentively to the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master, a pure devotee of Krishna, then we cannot understand. Then the heart will be like stone, we cannot understand. And as soon as some humility is taking place in the heart, the doors to obtain the holy name of Krishna, to understand something step by step, will be open. So we should pray for that humility. That is not so easy to do. But what means humility? Rendering service, becoming steady in our devotional service, developing a service attitude. That is the main thing. We may talk so much of right attitude, being humble, proud, whatever. Talking is one thing. But acting, actually serving Krishna, doing something, dedicating your life to Krishna, that means actually practical realization will come. Because our eternal nature is to be servant of Krishna, Jiva Svarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. And this spirit is revived in the heart. Just like when you have match, the fire is already there. If you have the right matchbox, immediately fire will come out. So we are also fire. We are this fire, this spiritual energy. We're eternal servant of Krishna. But because we have lost that service, that loving attitude, we cannot realize Krishna. That is not possible. If you think I just dream of dancing with Krishna, I will just enjoy Krishna like that, you may dream for 1 minute or two and then it will be gone again. That is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to follow the road, the paths that have been chalked out by the Acharyas. Mahajana Hinagata Supanta. To follow in their footsteps. And if we study their activities, we will see that they are humbly just considering themselves to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. To be first, develop that service attitude. That means you become free from the duality of material existence. Others may, in abstract way, theoretical way, speculate for millions of years, and they just become more proud and they don't want to render service. And they become very attached to the fruit of their activity. And the anxiety will continue. But simply by rendering a little service for Krishna, your heart will become purified to that extent. And if you continue to render service to Krishna, your steadiness will manifest and you will not be influenced by the modes of nature, by the different conditions in this life. Just like I'm just now coming from Germany, which is a very cold country. It's very cold, especially now in winter. When we left, there was snow everywhere. Of course, sometimes it comes already in November, but now it came just a few days before. So the whole of Germany is covered with snow, and it's like 10 degrees below, which is not considered very cold in Germany. But so much anxiety because of the snow covering everything. Every day more snow is coming. And then the trains are delayed, and the cars, they're having accidents. Some people, they die when they're out in the cold. It's very painful when you're too cold. Then you come to India here in winter, very nice weather. So much sunshine everywhere. And everything, you know, palm trees are there. In Germany, you don't have, the whole winter, no plants are growing. All the leaves are falling from the tree. It's not a very pleasant sight. You come here, it's very nice, you know. Very nice sunshine, very nice birds are singing. But that doesn't mean that in India there's no anxiety. Doesn't mean only in Germany there's anxiety. Germans are known to always be in anxiety. If they don't make the best this, that, they're immediately in anxiety. They get complex. They feel devastated, depressed, sad. When they make less quality, some machine or something. So they're always in anxiety, always. When the cold is gone, the heat is coming. When in Germany we get 30 degrees, we think it's very hot. They feel very much pain. So this is duality of this world. It's not that anyone is free of anxiety. Wherever you go, anxiety will be there. Even in India there is some anxiety. It's a Dharma Bhumi, it's a religious country. Still, because here is a material world, even in India, not in this temple of course, you get some relief. Still, we have this material body. As long as we have the material body, some anxiety will be there. Some duality will be there. The mosquito will come, some itching will come. Then you don't want to kill the mosquito, you have to think what to do. So many complications are there. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. Sometimes we are hungry, sometimes we are too full. After eating, oh, I feel fatigued, and then you become thirsty again. Then you drink a lot of water, I feel hungry. Sometimes people honor you. They come and honor you. Then again, somebody comes very rough to you, they dishonor you. This duality always there. You cannot escape as long as you have this body. You have this duality. And the nature of this duality is one without the other thing you cannot even understand. You cannot understand what is happiness in this world unless you know some unhappiness also. And unless you know some happiness, a little happiness, how you understand you are unhappy? Just like a drunkard. In Germany we have drunkards, many people drink this horrible beer and things like that. Then they become drunkards. I don't know if you have here also, probably. Sometimes. So the drunkard is lying in the street and he thinks I'm very happy. But when we think he's the most unhappy, we feel very sorry for him. He's banging his head. Just like I was preaching in a very remote place, very cold place called Iceland. Iceland is called Iceland because there's ice everywhere, you know. It's near the polar circle. It's even colder than Germany, you know. So I was distributing Prabhupada's books there. We have Icelandic books, but we have no temple yet there. So I went there alone to do some preaching, distribute Prabhupada's books. And I did some preaching programs there. So this Iceland, very cold country. And we did some preaching, some book distribution there, and nobody knew anything of Krishna consciousness. I didn't know how to explain to them, because they are so immersed in sense gratification. Even there, people think they are very happy, they enjoy it. And when they are sitting there at 5 degrees plus, do you have this Celsius here? 5 degrees. They think it's becoming warm, you know? They go out in a t-shirt and sometimes they're in a bathing suit and they sit on the balcony. They think it's becoming very warm there. And when it's summertime, when it's above 20 degrees. Once it was, I think one time I went there in summer, it was maybe 24 degrees. They say it's unnaturally hot. How can we take this heat? So it's all relative, you know. One man's food, another man's poison. But the duality is there. So I saw one drunkard there, and before they didn't drink much, but then they became so-called liberal. Now it's changing. Before, the people in Iceland were very pure because they didn't have internet, they didn't have satellite TV. They were living a very nice, pure life. And they're all interested in spiritual things. Very innocent, very nice people. They take the books they like very much. Very good place for preaching. So I went there 30 years ago, people were very nice. Now they're all afraid, they see all these things. And now they legalize alcohol. Before it was not allowed to drink alcohol, now they legalize. So you see so many drunkards, so-called advancement they make. So one drunkard, he came into the bus. I was going on a bus there always for book distribution. And on the central bus stop, one man came in. And he was drunk. I felt very sorry. But he thought he's very happy. Because why they drink? When they drink, they feel that they are not helpless. They feel I'm very strong. I can do anything. Nobody can stop me. So never argue with a drunk person. Always cool him down and you come back later. Take a little prasad coming. Cannot talk to him, you know. So this man came into the bus. And he was very happy. He thought, I'm the lord of the world. Nobody can harm me, you know. I can do whatever I want. Everyone is afraid when I come. So he was enjoying it because normally he's suffering so much. He needs that. He thinks he needs. Of course, we know he doesn't. So he was singing that song, that drunkard. I was sitting in the back of the bus, waiting for the bus to start with a whole bag of books. And he was coming inside. And he was singing, I'm a hero, I'm a hero, I'm a hero. Maybe there's some song, I'm a hero. And then he was banging his head, the hero was banging his head against a pole there, and he was falling back on his back outside the bus on the street, you know. So the bus left without him, and the hero was lying in the street. So because they don't know real happiness, they don't know the standard of happiness, they think that is happiness. Because they are so much entangled in ignorance and illusion. That is called Maya. What is that Maya? That you think this material world is completely real and is going to last forever. Whatever we are doing here, I'm going to last forever. And I'm this material body. Oh, this body is so nice. Oh, this body. Let me look in the mirror. Maybe I should gain some more weight, or maybe I should lose some more weight. I become very attractive, and then I enjoy life, and then everything becomes wonderful. If you think like that, you may think like that. That is the beginning of all your trouble, all your problems. But the materialistic person will think this is very nice. Just see, that is the difference. Puna puna shavita chavananam. Chewing the chew. You just walk out the temple, such a nice temple. When you see these deities, you see this wonderful kirtan you hear. You see, the devotees look just like they come from Vaikuntha, everything clean, everything pure, everything nice, the best prasadam is there, everything nice, seva for Krishna is there. And then you walk out here, you see immediately the material world is there also. Dust is there, and barking of dogs, so many things are there. So who would be so foolish to give up that service to Krishna? We have to do some service. Some little duality will be there. We still have that body. But we should not think we are this body. We should not think we are this mind. When the mind says, oh, I like that, this is more convenient, we just say, shut up, you know. I have my service to do for Krishna. Why should I even think about it? Why waste my time about it? Then the mind becomes very weak. Maybe here I get a little more enjoyment out of this. Maybe a little bit more of this. Maybe my bed should be a little more soft. Hiranya, Kashipu, gold should be there, and a soft bed should be there. So the inner demon is there. We have the lower self and the higher self. We should decide to bring out the higher self, which is an eternal servant of Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, by serving Krishna, was a nine process of devotional service, as Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Prabhupada once mentioned there is no other devotee mentioned in Bhagavatam from whom we can learn so much as from the example of Prahlad Maharaj. It is mentioned in one purport. Why? Because Prahlad Maharaj is preacher. He is one of the Mahajan, a great pure devotee. And our service is to preach also. Our great authority is the gopis in Vrindavan. That doesn't mean we can even faintly understand what is their position. The main character of all these pure devotees, main symptom of character is, we can of course not understand completely the extent of the greatness, but the main symptom is that they have this service attitude. That is the whole thing. They don't want to enjoy, they want Krishna to enjoy. They don't want everything for their own sense gratification. They want everything for Krishna's gratification. That is the difference. And when they have to make a choice, they will always choose Krishna's satisfaction first. Because when Krishna is satisfied naturally, we will also be satisfied and very happy. So that is something to realize step by step, even if one day you cannot understand. But that to the degree you serve Krishna more, the more your heart will be purified. And unless the heart is purified, then we are not actually engaging properly in the service of Krishna. We are not following the real spiritual process. Not by some imitation process, artificial process, you can purify your heart. This is a natural process because our tendency to serve is already there in the heart. Just like we see in the material world even. If a person does so many things and works so hard and they cheat so many people and they get so much money, still they are not satisfied. Still they become more greedy. They become more frustrated. I've seen them. I've seen a very rich person and he's just looking, where's another woman to enjoy? Where's another this? How about my property? How about my relatives? This, that. So they cannot really get any satisfaction. But if you have a simple person, let's say a little pious in this material world, they get more pleasure out of doing some service for others. They want to feel like they can contribute something, at least. The philanthropist, all these people, they want to help someone, you know. Just like this Mother Teresa, I think. She was very simple, she just wanted to serve the people. Of course, a little bit on the bodily level, but still, she wants to render some service. And she gets satisfaction out of that. Some satisfaction, at least. But that service is limited service. Very limited service. Because it's to the body. But because she's doing it to try to serve God, she will also get some benefit. And she's known as a saintly personality. And how much tapasya these saintly persons take, and they may not even be Krishna devotees, how much more we should be ready to and take a little bit of tapasya. After all, it is not very much we have to do. So we should have that vision and become a peaceful devotee, because without peace of mind, we cannot be happy and do anything very nicely. We will just switch force and match. This nashochati nakankshati, this shochati and kankshati, hankering after something, lamenting after about something, hankering, lamenting. Just like you have a train here, I think, in Bombay. I don't know where it's going, maybe to Pune. And it's going back from Bombay, Pune. It cannot go off the track, just Bombay, Pune. So the mind, the mental level is like that. Hankering, lamenting. I want this, I don't want this. I don't want that, I want this. I want this. How you can even have a sane mind in that state of consciousness, on this mental level of the material senses? You cannot. Unless you obtain the level of nishtha, of steadiness in devotional service, you are always in a risky situation, very dangerous situation. So first, we have to have association with devotees. We have to have a little favorable attitude. Then associate with devotees and get their mercy somehow or other. Then render some favor and engage in bhajana kriya and devotional service of Krishna in a favorable mood, praising the glories of Krishna, hearing about the glories of Krishna, first of all, chanting the holy name of Krishna, then getting rid of anarthas. That is also important. Some say it doesn't matter. You just do service. What you don't do doesn't matter. But what you don't do also matters. So this anartha also has to be given up. So we have to try to follow, not just try, we have to follow the four regulative principles and attend the morning program in the association of devotees. We heard that many times, still it's most essential. And not allow the mind to jump back and forth like a monkey. Then we obtain that stage of nishtha. Not that we jump over one stage, first raga and then the other stage. No, that's not possible. That's not possible. As soon as you are steady, then your mind is peaceful, your heart will open, and you will get a taste. But if your mind is not steady, how you will have a taste? You tell me, how you will have a taste? Then it's just a cheap imitation. It's just a cheap reflection of raga. It's not real raga. The real taste will come when you quieten your mind by chanting steadily the holy name of Krishna. And if while chanting, Prabhupada said it sometimes, you just chant snick snick something else, that is, will take a long time to actually manifest some result. But if you chant very attentively every day, you're 16 round minimum, and maybe some extra rounds, and then you engage enthusiastically and preaching and spreading the message. That is real service, means this preaching service. All your problems will be solved because your mind will calm down and you will experience real happiness from inside. That Prabhupada is explaining in one of his first little brochures on chanting Hare Krishna. You will immediately overcome the bodily level, the mental level, the intellectual level. Immediately the chanting will get you like an elevator to the spiritual level. So that process is handed on by the Vaishnava tradition, spiritual tradition, but it's more than just a tradition based on some history or some family tradition. It is the oldest existing genuine spiritual tradition. And it's very potent if you just try it out. So we can talk about it so much, giving many examples. But the main thing is you practice it. If you practice it every day steadily, all your problems will be solved. As Prabhupada says, quoting Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked him, the mind is so chanchala, it's so unsteady. Now I want this, now I want that. Maybe I should do that. So unsteady. How can I somehow control the mind? It is more subtle than the wind. How can I control the wind? It's not possible. But the yogis, they control the wind, the life air, by constant practice, breathing exercise. And the mind is controlled by constantly remembering Krishna. We don't want to control the wind, we want to control the mind. So we don't need to do much breathing exercise or something. We do this chanting exercise. That is more potent. Because by chanting, automatically you're breathing, your mind, everything will be controlled. You just become very regulated in your habits. And you chant the holy name very nicely with attention. And immediately, you will come to this spirit level. Because the name of Krishna, not different from Krishna. Binadvan namanamino. It is like the Chintamani stone, the wish-fulfilling stone that can fulfill all your desires, can solve all of your problems. How any auspiciousness, even materially speaking, how we can force it? Nobody can force it. Nobody. That is not in your hands. That is not in your hands. And we have to get the blessings of Bhagavan, of Krishna. He has all the opulence. So I explained to my friend that Bhagavan means personal aspect of God. And it means the bhagya. He who has all the bhagyas unlimitedly. Just like this temple here. When Prabhupada came first here, there was nothing. I remember when I came first, 1980, I saw this huge, wonderful building, a guest house. I was just, my mouth was just open. And there was just a handful of devotees, maybe 10, 15 devotees, but Prabhupada was there and they just dedicated to his instruction and the potency was unlimited. And now I'm very pleased and happy to see that not only you maintain very nicely this place, which is not an easy thing, materially speaking, it's only by Krishna's grace, Prabhupada's grace is possible, and by your dedication also. By the dedication of great souls like His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, whom I saw here in 1980. I came back from preaching in Egypt at that time and took a little tour of Vrindavan and this temple here and went to the Mayapur festival. But then outside there were just fields and some trees and a few little rundown houses, and then there was the ocean. There was nothing there. And now it's become even bigger. Not only you maintain, but now you're building a new basalt in the back. I thought, how they are doing this? That cannot be explained materially. Materialists will be always in anxiety about it. And we may have some anxiety also. But then the materialist, what he's doing it for, at the end he will lose everything. The Mahabharata says, we are born naked. When we come to this world, we leave the world naked also. You cannot take anything with you. In the meantime, you have so much anxiety. But the Mahabharata says, the only thing you take in your next life, what you can take with you, is the reactions of your good and bad activities. That's the only thing you can take with you. So why not do the best of all? That is even akarma. That is not even normal, limited, pious karma. In which you may also get entangled, like Chitraketu here and this king, he got so entangled. This pious karma may also entangle you. Even you are one of the devas in the heavenly planets, you're entangled. But the devas, they are standing in line to take birth in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because on the heavenly planet, you are destined, you are doomed to enjoy your senses. But they know that is not the highest happiness. But we cannot give it up. Oh no. How we can give it up? To be born in this Kali Yuga, in this age on planet Earth, in Bharatvarsha, that is mentioned in the fifth kind of Bhagavatam. If you take birth in the Sankirtan movement, or if you haven't taken birth, I haven't taken birth in that movement, but I joined the movement at a young age. Somehow or other, you should join this movement. Even the devas, they are wanting to take birth here. It's mentioned also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they want to take part in this movement because by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will overcome all these things in a very simple and very wonderful way. The doors to the spiritual world are wide open through the process of Sankirtan Yajna. And without Sagadan Yagya, you cannot do all the other yagyas. They're just a reflection of that yagya for this age. Sankirtana Praya Yagyas, Yajanti Hisu Medasha. Yajanti Hisu Medasha. So those who have sufficient brain substance, sometimes we were criticized, we are brainwashing people. They don't know this process is not a hypnosis. It is to make you more peaceful inside and purify your heart and control your mind so it becomes peaceful. It's a very potent process so that you can remember Krishna very peacefully. It is not a hypnotic process. You imagine something, you imagine so many things. No. When I met Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, first in 1972, I was very young, hitchhiking to Paris just to see Prabhupada. First time I traveled anywhere in my life, age of 40. So I saw Prabhupada there, and then later next year we saw him. And out of so many good qualities, not good qualities, wonderful qualities, amazing qualities Prabhupada has, which are so unlimited qualities, one quality impressed me most when I saw him. And that was the deep peace of mind, the sense of gravity, this peaceful spirit, the depth he has by being such a peaceful person. He was sleeping so little. He was sleeping 2-3 hours. I saw it myself. We were staying in the next room sometimes. In the beginning, it was all very close. And Prabhupada always had the door open, so we saw he would get up 1 o'clock in the morning. And he was preaching until 10, at least 10 at night, 11 at night, like that. Doing so many things, managing so many people, temples, so many things. And writing the books at the same time. It's unimaginable. But whenever I saw him, he was totally peaceful. He emanated that peace, like it says in that prayer, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala. That Nityananda Prabhu, the effect of his presence and his lotus feet is that it is more cooling than the combined light of a million moons. The moon is very cooling. So when I saw Prabhupada, I had that feeling. He is representative of Nityananda Prabhu. The spiritual master is representative of Nityananda Prabhu. And we felt immediate relief in his presence. Because we were a little intense and tense and passionate and this and that. But Prabhupada was always peaceful. And he was so Krishna conscious, he saw everything from a distance. It's indescribable. Immediately we feel very much happy and relieved. And we feel very inspired in his presence. And one reason, I cannot explain why it is, because he is on such a high level, he is pure devotee, Nitya Siddha, of Krishna, personal associate of Krishna who is sent here to save us. So I cannot estimate the extent of his greatness. But of course, we by studying his books, we understand that it's not a process of imagining so many things artificially or sentimentally or something like that. You cannot break in your way into the spiritual world. But your first step in spiritual life is that your mind has to become peaceful at least for some time. In the beginning, when somebody comes new, they cannot listen for even 5 minutes. You're great yogis. You've been listening now for almost an hour. We started 15:15. Yeah, about an hour. Normally, a person, when they come new, they ask you a question, they cannot even hear the reply. Their mind will be unsteady after 20 seconds, isn't it? You notice when you preach. They cannot. So the process is that, first of all, you steady your mind by engaging in Krishna's service and remembering him. And then opening your heart to what Krishna is telling you. What Krishna is revealing. When you go to the deity, you don't just imagine so many things. You just open your heart so that Krishna will reveal himself to you. Or when you chant, you hear the sound vibration, and the sound is not different from Krishna. It will reveal to yourself. Therefore, we are not doing an artificial imposition on the mind. We are not proposing artificial imposition of the mind. that we have to imagine like that when we chant like that. No. You just let it go and you just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then when your heart is open, by your opening yourself to the sound vibration, by listening very intensively, attentively, then your brain will also be activated. So when Prabhupada was asked, are we brainwashing people? Prabhupada said, we cannot wash their brain because they don't have any brain. Unfortunately, most of the people don't have. They may have something, it's called gray matter here, some lump of something. It's gray, you know. But if you don't use it, it's like you don't have it, actually. So we are not want to insult anyone. But it says in Bhagavata, manda sumanda matayo. It's from Bhagavata. They don't have. Those who have some brain substance, they say, they engage in the Sankirtan Yajna. So those who don't have, that doesn't mean we think we are better. We should never be proud. Because we may fall down any minute if we are not careful. We should be thankful in our heart and feel real compassion for those who don't have it. So how we'll give them some brain, we cannot do that. But by giving them the holy name of Krishna, the more you chant, the more you can concentrate, the more you can hear, the more your heart gets purified, the more you become steady. And then when your heart is open, there's a connection between the brain, intelligence, and the heart also. Then your desire comes, I want to know more about Krishna, I want to render some service to Krishna. Then your intelligence will get activated. If you want something very much, then you get the right idea from the super soul, admit it. So that is a process, it's a little, I went from one point here, chanting Hare Krishna, and we ended up with chanting Hare Krishna. And I humbly just ask you kindly, give up whatever else you have thought before and speculated before, and listening to your mental radio, it will not get you anywhere, but kindly, please, chant the holy name of Krishna in the form of this Maha Mantra. Thank you very much. I don't think there's much time to answer question now, because we overdrew it a little. Maybe one question. Is that all right? Thank you again for your kindness to allow me to speak. I was a little tired, so it took me a little longer than usual. I apologize. Yes. So one question is? It's all right? You?
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Does a devotee remember Krishna in a state of deep sleep?
Yes. If a devotee remembers Krishna in the state of deep sleep. Interesting question, right? So he refers to what is said here in the purport that is mentioned many times in Shastra, that when we live in this world, outside of the spiritual world, when we come and take a material body, we go through three stages of consciousness or mental states. One is dreaming, svapna, or sleeping. One is wakeful condition. And one is deep sleep. So the best way to remember Krishna is when you're awake, you know. When you chant your rounds and you're in the dreaming, sleeping stage, is more difficult. But if in your waking stage, so you have to make sure you're awake when you chant. But while you're awake, when you chant, later you will remember Krishna even in your sleeping or dreamful condition also. And this deep sleep, that is almost unconscious sleep, that normally you don't remember Krishna. But a pure devotee, he will even remember Krishna in that stage. He will remember Krishna at all times. But that is not actually technically called the deep sleep. That would be offensive to say. But he's in samadhi. Even when he sleeps, he's just thinking of his service or of Krishna. So if you're blessed after some time that either your service or Krishna will appear in your dream. That means you're making a little advancement. Very nice. Is that clear?
Yeah, Prabhu. At least, in the case of those who have not reached the state of a pure devotee,
even
if he remembers Krishna, at least at the time of waking up early in the morning, don't you think it is a good spiritual progress?
Oh, definitely. Most important. Therefore, I just mentioned here also that the word utita, swapna utita, we have to wake up. Jif jago, goda shanda bole, kota nidra, jau maya, pishachira kole. So every morning you wake up, the best time is Brahma Muhurta hour, because then you may be in very deep sleep. Better to wake up. Don't rely that you will remember Krishna in that deep sleep. The tamaguna is there, rajaguna is there. We have to come to the sattvaguna. That is very important. Not only the thing, we are already beyond. As long as we have the body, influence, some influence of tamagun may come. So therefore we get up in the morning and immediately remember Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, the devotee gets up and immediately he thinks, today Krishna will somehow or other give me his mercy by engaging me in his service. That is very nice, very positive. You open your heart. Today Krishna is there to give me mercy. So let me be open and take that mercy. If I'm asked to do that service, oh, let me do that. That is my chance. So that is how a devotee wakes up. And then he chants the whole name of Krishna, which also means, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Rama Hare Hare. Hare.
Thank you again, and also for your nice question. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavadam ki, Iskandru Beach, Mumbai ki, Jai.